This morning, as we turn our attention to the preaching of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to the book of Job, and we'll be looking at chapter 29. Chapter 29 of the book of Job, if you're using your pew Bible, you should find this on page 552. Again, this is Job chapter 29. Hear now the word of God. And Job again took up his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood, the princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, it called me blessed, and when the eye saw, it approved, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe in a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters, with the dew all night on my branches, my glory fresh with me, and my bow ever new in my hand. Men listened to me and waited, and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and now the preaching of his word as well. It's important for us to remember in our day-to-day lives that gets lost in the mundane nuances of our existence, the fact that we are in a war. We are in a battle day in and day out. We are fighting the good fight of faith. It's not a war that we can see. It's not with another nation or land. But it is a true war, a spiritual war. A war that affects our spiritual well-being. And as we live our lives day in and day out, we can face discouragement, as any soldier might on the battlefield. At times when the battle is raging, it seems that all is lost, that the strong tower that we are trying to defend is crumbling underneath us. In those times, it's important for us to remember who our king is. It's important for us to remember what our king has done and the victory that our king has already won. But not only that, of his countenance towards us, his people. The way his face would smile upon us, looking upon us in our fight. Job touches on this in the final couple verses of this chapter, as he pictures for himself as being like a king in his former glory before all was taken away. He was like a king who had troops, and his smile brought courage. It brought comfort to those under his care. And as we look at this passage this morning, as Job, as a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is pointing us to the truth of our King and the glory that he does possess. And the fact that in him, through his work, through his shed blood, that our Heavenly Father smiles on us. And so in the day-to-day mundane life of our existence, in the battles that we face as we see our strongholds crumbling, let us remember our King. And let us have courage and be comforted by him in his work for us. And so, brothers and sisters, that is the message of our text this morning for you and I to take comfort and courage in the smile of our King. To take comfort and courage in the smile of our King. Now, as we begin in verses 1 through 11, Job is recounting his former glory. Now, as this chapter begins, again, it says, Job again took up his discourse and said. And I just want to remind you of a couple weeks ago, or several weeks ago now, when we looked at Job 27 and 28, we have the same sentence there, beginning at chapter 27, and Job again took up his discourse and said. And I want to refresh our memory that this word discourse, that in the scriptures, when it's used elsewhere, it's used of a proverb of instruction. And it carries with it the weight of divine authority. That what is being said here is not simply just the ramblings of a man in despair, recalling glory. It's of a prophetic nature designed to teach us and instruct us in the way of truth. And it's pointing us towards a greater spiritual reality. And so these words of Job, although they're reflecting back in his life, it's reflecting back in his life in a way that God is using, and is using Job to point forward to his Son, Jesus Christ, that would come in the flesh. Now, as Job is looking back and remembering all that happened, all that he had in his former glory, consider the first few verses and what the primary thing that he is longing for, and that is the friendship of God. He says this in verse 4, "As I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent." And he says it in ways of God watching over him, his lamp and his light guiding him. He looks back upon his life and he sees very clearly the light of God exposing his way before him. Now, the word here, "as I was in my prime," a literal translation of that would be, "as I was in my autumn days." Now, we might think of that as kind of a decline. That, you know, autumn is right before winter when things start getting cold. And leaves begin to fall off the trees. But if you consider the autumn days, this is the harvest. This is the time of year when all the work throughout the year, all the labor, all the affliction of sowing and toiling, we have the fruit of all that labor, all that toil. It's a time of harvest. It's a time of reaping. A type of carrying in. This is why we have Thanksgiving in this time of year. We're celebrating the bounty of what has just come. So that is why we translate it as, or the ESV and others translate it as, "in my prime." This is as when Job, in his life, as he looks back upon it, was experiencing all the blessings and glory that you could imagine. And that's really what the rest of this first section recounts for us in the last part of verse 5 through 11. He very tenderly says, "When my children were all around me," calling to mind the fact that he lost all of his children in one day. "His steps being washed with butter and the rock poured out for me the streams of oil," just the blessings of the food and the bounty that he was able to enjoy. But then the rest of the verses as well, the respect that he had at the city gate where business was done and things were decided, judgments were made, He speaks in a way as he was held in high esteem from the community. Now, all of these autumn days, his prime that he is recounting here, is a summary of the glory that he had, the glory that he enjoyed. And we can't but help think about, and Lord willing, in a couple weeks, we'll look at chapter 30, where chapter 30 is Job recounting the loss of all of this in his state now. He is contrasting, first of all, the glory that he has. And it brings to mind, as we consider the overarching theme in what this book is pointing us to, the righteous one who suffers, pointing us to the righteous one, Jesus Christ who suffered. In John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus in his, what we call his high priestly prayer, as he's praying to his Father, he says, "Glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world." Job, as a type of Christ, as he is recounting the glory that he had before his testing, it reminds us of the glory that Christ left. Consider the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, leaving the realms of glory, being born of the Virgin Mary under the law, in the humblest of conditions. Jesus Christ left the realms of glory. But let us also consider the difference. You know, types only point us to the Savior. They don't point us to him in picture of him perfectly. You know, David is the prime example. He points us to Jesus as king. Yet he committed horrendous sins in his own life. Job points us to the righteous one suffering in isolation. But he has faults and he has frailties. Job had his suffering thrust upon him. And in the call to worship this morning in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, what did we read there? But that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering, the humiliation, the cross. The righteous one of God did not have the humiliation and the sufferings that he endured thrust upon him unwillingly. But he laid the glory aside momentarily and willingly and joyfully suffered for us. That is the difference here between Job, the type, and what we call the anti-type Jesus. He left the realms of glory willingly to suffer for us. But as we consider this descent of Job from the glory that he is recounting, it points us to the willing descent of Christ from the realms of glory to suffer for you and me. And what we also see in this chapter, our second point this morning, is that in the imperfect righteousness of Job, we see the perfect works of Christ. In verses 12 through 20, we read why he was given such esteem in the community. He talks about the esteem that he received, and then this section begins with the word because. This is why Job received such esteem. He delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help them. Blessings came to him who was about to perish, or from those who were about to perish. He caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. He says, "I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know." Then he speaks about breaking the fangs of unrighteousness, delivering those from their teeth. Now, these are the works of righteousness. And in verses 18 to 20, this is the reward that Job was expecting. This is what he recalls and how he lived his life. And so in verses 18 to 20, this then is him thinking, this is the reward that I'm expecting. I shall die in my nest, in his home. I shall multiply my days as the sand. His roots will spread out to the waters and the dew all the night on his branches. The glory is fresh with him, and his bow will be ever new in his hand. He's expecting rest. He's expecting prosperity. He's expecting this continued blessing for all that he is doing. But we know that story, don't we? We know, we've just been covering, this is chapter 29, so we know from the outset what happens to Job. He doesn't receive immediately that rest in his life that he was expecting. But he's brought through this trial, this tribulation. He's brought low. He loses all of his possessions, all of his blessings, and all of the esteem that he enjoyed. We'll see in chapter 30 how now people mock him. Those that once esteemed him highly, now he's their ridicule. And he's the end of their jokes. He did not attain the rest that he was expecting in verses 18 and 20. Now, as we consider, Job himself acknowledges in these pages, in the previous chapters, that as his friends come to counsel him, and they repeatedly tell him that he deserves all that has happened to him. You know, at one point he acknowledges this. He even expresses how he is all of his youthful sins have now come up, and he's being judged and punished for them. But these are good works that he does. And Isaiah 64, verse 6, as God looks out, we're told that all of our righteousness, all of our good works, all the good things that we can do are nothing but polluted garments. See, the good works that we do in our own apart from Christ, although they may be good on the outside, are corrupted by sin. And they're corrupted by our own wicked nature. Our confession and testimony defines good works as those things which God has ordered us to do. And those doing them as he has ordered them to do for the purpose of his glory. Now, although good works may look good on the outside, if they're done with selfish motives, selfish ambitions, not for the glory of God, they are not good works. But these things, as Job recalls, are they an exaggeration? Is he speaking in hyperbole, exalting himself a little bit more than maybe he actually did work? These are good things, and as God's own testimony of Job is that he was a righteous man. We can assume that he did all things not for his own glory, but in the right motivation of honoring God. So these are good things. Well, again, we need to consider that Job, in his being a type of Christ, I've mentioned before my Old Testament professor, C.J. Williams, his argument is that these words are a messianic prophecy. Looking towards the work that Christ would do. Christ is the one who opened the eyes of the blind. He made the lame walk. He is the one who overrules and destroys and brings to ruin the unrighteous in their judgments. All these good works that Job is recounting, although done in his imperfection, point us to the perfect works of Jesus Christ in his righteous deeds. Now, as Christ lived perfectly, but then died for our sinfulness, we know that he did not remain in that grave, but was resurrected. And he ascended on high and is glorified. The rest that Job was expecting and looking forward to in this life as a result of his good works, it points us towards the rest that was won in Christ. Not a rest here on earth, but a rest that is eternal, that will never end, and that will never be taken away. The righteous deeds of Christ, his fulfilling of the requirements of the works of the law, the covenant of works that God established with Adam in the garden. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, fulfilled. And he fulfilled it perfectly. He earned the righteousness that he was given. And he earned the rest and reward that he is given. And through faith in him, by God's grace, we can look forward to and take part in that rest. Christ willingly left the realms of glory and came down in humiliation and suffered for us. But he has been exalted on high. And we as his people will enjoy that rest eternally. Christ willingly left the realms of glory and to live perfectly under the law, fulfilling all that required in his works of righteousness. And through God's grace, by faith in him, God gives us that righteousness and views us in that light. Now, as God's people, whom we have been redeemed by our Lord and Savior, who left the realms of glory, lived the perfect life, and we have to look forward to the rest that he won and earned, let us then, as his people, as we look at the final section of this chapter, take comfort and courage from our King. Now, in these verses, point three, Job lived as a king, giving comfort and courage. In verse 21, he again goes back and begins talking about the glory that he once had, that men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. Again, the picture of Christ is being continued. In the book of Isaiah, once again, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, we read these words. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent. The idea here is the word of the Lord, his teachings, his word coming out of his mouth will be like the rain dropping and watering the earth. It's a very similar imagery here that Job is using about his own speech and about how people waiting for it as they do the rains. It's continuing the picture of Christ to come. And so in the last two verses, I smiled on them when they had no confidence. In the light of my face, they did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. You know, he pictures himself as a king in these verses. It's not that he was king and that he was a king of a land and a ruler and a chief, but he is picturing himself as a king. That's the esteem that he had in his community. But it shows us and points us to Jesus Christ, who is our King. And we see here the blessings that we receive from our King. First of all, in verse 24, I smiled on them, and they had no confidence. In the light of my face, they did not cast down. The imagery here is what I mentioned in the introduction of soldiers on a battlefield when the war is being waged and it seems like all is being lost. And yet they see their glorious King, and he looks upon them and smiles at them. It's the renewed strength and confidence that they have in their King. Now, if that's true for the case of an earthly king, of a human king, how much more we who are God's people, who are soldiers in his army, as part of the Lord of hosts, we're included in that host. Our King has been victorious. He is glorified. He is ruling on high. And consider, as I commonly use in the benediction at the end of the service, what we call the Aaronic benediction. And that's in the last part of Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. It's the benediction that God instructed Moses to teach to Aaron to give to the people of God at the end of their worship service. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's the Lord telling his people that he is smiling upon them. that the light of his face, when we smile, our faces are like, we have the expression that, you know, our faces light up. When we turn our countenance towards someone in good pleasure, it's being happy with, pleased with. And the result of these things are that we have peace. And God is pouring out his grace upon us. And that is what the smile of God means. It's a reminder that his grace is being poured out upon us in Christ. And that is reason for us to take courage, to be comforted. Now, as Job ends in the last line, he says, you know, I live like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. You know, initially we can look at that, and we, at least I do, kind of wonder, like, how are those two connected? You don't really think of, okay, troops and mourners and coming together. But what I just mentioned there, that's how they're come together and they're connected. The troops who are under siege, finding comfort in the smile of their king, the same image as one who comes alongside someone who is grieving and gives them comfort and gives them encouragement. Brothers and sisters, as we wage in our battle, in the times when it seems like the evil one is overtaking us and our strongholds are crumbling, let us remember that our king has already won the war. There may be battles when it seems like we're losing, we're going to lose, but the war has already been won. And it's not that our king is just, our enemy is all-powerful, but our king is more powerful. But no, our enemy is not all-powerful. Our enemy is just a created being, a very powerful created being, but he's not all-powerful. But our King is all-powerful, the creator of heaven and earth. Let us remember his victory, and let us remember that in him, through his grace, he sees us not as the enemies that we once were, waging war against him. But we are his sheep. We are his people. We are his soldiers under his charge. We have the righteousness of Christ. And as we wage our war, let us remember the smile that our King has for us, the comfort that he gives and brings. Through the obedience of Christ unto death, Jesus was exalted as king. And as king, he brings us courage and comfort as we wage our battles. As Job has recounted his former glory, as he is a type of Christ and points us to what Christ has done for us, leaving the realms of glory and suffering for us to the point of death on a cross, let us, brothers and sisters, in the midst of our battle, take courage from the fact that our King is victorious and he reigns. And that as we wage our battles, he is fighting along with us. And our King's countenance is pleasant towards us. And as we consider that countenance, that smile of our King, let us take renewed courage and comfort in our fight and pursue our enemy. Pursue the sin that clings to us. For in Christ we are victorious. Let us, brothers and sisters, take courage and comfort in the smile of our King. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the victory that we do have in Christ. Father, we are in a war. We are in a serious battle. May we not forget that. And when it seems like the battle is being waged, that we can't overcome our enemy, may we remember that the King of Kings has already won, that he has already struck the death blow to our enemy. And may we, Father, remember the blessing that you give us in Christ. This fact that you, Lord, look upon us not through the filthy rags of our own righteousness, but through the perfect, clean, and pure righteousness of Jesus Christ. In his glorious name we do pray. Amen.